And we are live. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Welcome to another episode of Wesley and Willie, Season 2. First episode of 2021. Hello, Wesley. I mean, hello. Willie.
Hello, hello. How are you?
I apologize to the audience. I apologize to the audience ahead of time because my son will be playing Fortnite behind me. So you'll be hearing some noises while we do this.
Should we begin?
Sure. Today we're going to speak about 2021 expectations and resolutions.
Right. From a personal experience, I think everybody agrees with me that this was an awful year, full of sorrows and, to some degree, resentment. However, I don't think this should be a barrier for us in order to look up for the new year with a leap of faith and with an immense hope for a change. So let's not draw boundaries to our expectations and cross our fingers and hope for the best and be more emphatic, more diligent, and reach for the star.
Wow, nice opening, Willie. I want to disagree with you. I'm not gonna be the Grinch disagreeing with all the positive things you said, but I wanted to disagree with you and with many people, really. And it shocks me sometimes the way people speak about 2020. I want to disagree that it is an awful year. I don't know why, for me, that that feels for me like a hasty judgment. Like, what criteria are we judging that year to be an awful year? Why is it an awful year?
The challenges and the agonies of the pandemic alone is enough, don't you think?
I mean, it is naturally expected. I mean, every year we have agonies that are caused by various natural disasters. And that doesn't make the year an awful year.
Right. But not to this extent. I mean, I've lived the civil war in Lebanon, and I don't remember being that sorrowful. Being like this. Sometimes I had my down moments in which I was so negative, even unto myself. I think the lockdown had its impact on me. I don't know if you have such a thing there, but where you are incapable of doing anything except staying home. This really the biggest impact I can recall. And unfortunately, we are looking in England to have another one coming very soon. They say they may announce it very soon. Another lockdown. Mm-hmm. Yes, another complete lockdown for probably a couple of months. Mm-hmm. This was the biggest challenge.
Okay. So let's talk about that. Can we talk about that for a minute?
Sure.
Because, you know, I've been hearing, when I hear people, and people go, over and beyond in describing the horrors of this year. And every time I hear that, I want to say something. I want to say, no, actually, I don't think it's a bad year, but I don't, because it needs a lot of talking, and I don't want to sound like an A.W. So as far as being locked up, I mean, as far as quarantine or being under lockdown, is it that bad? Is it that bad that we are forced to be alone for a minute?
If you're like Jeff Bezos living in a ranch, 165,000 acre ranch, no, it's not. But if you're living in a 4x4 probably room, one room, or a small house,
which is most probable in London.
Yes. So mm-hmm. I think yes. I said this to my friend. I said, if I was living in a like a vast house in which I had everything, like tennis court, football field, you know, no, of course not. Like Jeff Bezos, mm-hmm. who would care? And by the way, Jeff Bezos, I was reading this like today that he, while he was doing like enjoying that, his workers were making a fortune for him, toiled in a close proximity working for him to make a fortune, and his fortune has risen 70 billion only during the pandemic. So yes, I think it depends on the subjective circumstances around you. And like for me, what I did on a personal level, I went and I bought a piano, right? And I had given this up for years, but then I thought to myself, okay, this is the opportunity now. I have basically 24 hours of free time daily. So I bought the piano. I'm spending hours daily on it. And all the tasks that I should have achieved a long time ago, I'm reviewing them again. I'm revising them. So yes, there are some accomplishments, but I am an outgoing guy. I love to go out. I love to sit in a coffee and to have my laptop, to have my book. I'm not antisocial. I'm a social person. And here I am unto myself, like 24/7. It's getting to me psychologically.
Yeah. Willie, just a technical thing. If your mic, just don't let it drop on your shirt a lot because it makes noise.
All right.
I hear you. I mean, but we cannot say that since, because we can't go to the coffee shop, it has been a very awful year. There is also some benefits that happened from that. You see, don't get me wrong. I am a social person. I have even a hashtag on my social media called Wissam Sunday Morning. I enjoy reading and a cup of coffee in a coffee joint. Sunday mornings, Saturday mornings, going out with friends, having discussions. This is this is my pleasures in life. You know, very simple pleasures in life. Especially when you live in a state like Michigan, where you're in lockdown anyway for 6 months due to the weather, because you're not a polar bear. So, you need to compensate with these social gatherings, which are now off limits. So this is something that has been missing this year, and it is kind of a shock to our systems. But to make a judgment that it's an off year because of that, because there's also benefits to that. So, you know, when it, remember, it is, this is just temporary. And this, temporary thing has benefits to us. It's like fasting. So when you're fasting for 24 hours and you're hungry, it's not such an awful day, because you are doing it, and you know you're doing it. There is a positive outcome that's coming out of it. I feel that 2020 was, we haven't even passed a year of the pandemic as far as the start of lockdowns, you know. And when a year passes, I think in Britain it was what, you started in March?
The lockdown, yes.
Yeah, we too started in March 13 in Michigan specifically. So when March 13, 2021 passes and a year passes, I think by that time, vaccine will be already on the way of deployment, and the lockdown is going to be pretty much over if there is no new surprises, you know. So, so to have 1 year to fast from social gatherings, from coffee shops, from, although, you know, coffee shops opened and closed, you know, sporadically, yes. To fast from public events, to fast from public sports, etc. I think it has more benefits to humanity than negatives. And I feel that for that, it's such a great year in humanity's history where we are forced by forces of nature to practice some other mindful, intellectual, sensitive, pondering style of life.
Yeah, I agree.
It wouldn't have happened otherwise.
But on a macro level, like the coronavirus has killed in America alone 350,000. Around the globe, about 2 million. The economies of the world are struggling. Like, for instance, the unemployment in America has risen to 6.7. All these factors, they do play out into the agony of everybody, I think. And especially that Joe Biden said recently, he said that the darkest day are still ahead of us. That's what he said. And we've seen a failure in the rolling out of the vaccination in America. So it's not working the way it should. And thus, I don't think the future is very bright, although we should think it is. But at least the near future is not very bright. Maybe after the half of the year, things will start to ease a little more.
So let's split it up. So for example, the stock market, it has been a great year.
And this is amazing, right? Yeah. Why would it be a great year where everything is? I mean, don't you think it's an irony where everything is closed, but yet the market is doing well?
Well, there is a huge list of companies that are heading towards bankruptcy, but overall, the consumer spending, the tech revolution has actually been on the rise. The cryptocurrency is doing crazy. Like, it's almost $35,000 for one stock of Bitcoin, for one Bitcoin today. It was 20,000 years ago. And dropped down, and people thought that was an anomaly, like it's never going to happen again. And today is 35,000. Never expected that this will actually happen again. So anyway, the stock market has had a great year. For 2020 is a great year. As far as environment, 2020 is a great year. Okay, so let's just get rid of things that we agree on 100%. As far as the environment, do you agree it has been a great year, 2020? The decreasing of carbon print, etc.
Yes. Yes.
As far as like animals, like all the other species, they actually had better, time in 2020. Because we act on the universe like a virus ourselves. We have the same results of a virus attacking an organic body on the universe. When we decrease, when we sit down, the ecosystem flourishes, and when we are more active, the ecosystem suffers. So it has been a great year for the environment. It has been, I mean, of course, we're still having global warming, and there were all the fires, etc., as part of a larger trend. But we had a huge carbon print break. We had a good year for the stock market. Okay, we had a good year for all the people who are genius producers and who had things put off. So there is a rise in publications, there is a rise in writing, there is a rise in all these tasks. It is a great year for family activities. People are spending more time with the family.
How about the rise of domestic violence?
That's also okay. So I want to say something about domestic violence, about countries that people suffer because there's no social network to, I mean, the government is not ready to handle such a thing. I think these just, it's a fail fast theory. There's one theory in entrepreneurship. They say, you know, fail fast. It's a good thing because failing is a learning opportunity, and failure is a sign that all the factors are not there. And when you fail slowly, it's just agonizing, and it's a big stinzef, yani. It's a big, what's stinzef in English?
I'll look it up.
Anyway, so it's yeah. Draining of resources and draining of power. So governments who are not, like in Lebanon, for example, a failing government, of course, is not going to handle the pandemic very well. Although Lebanon didn't do a bad job, by the way, but it actually highlights the failures of the government. It highlights these the numbness towards these failed systems that we are not changing. Domestic violence is also highlights a failing marriage, an incompatible marriage that was supposed to fail earlier. So that's my opinion.
Yeah, Sinzef is depletion or drain. I try to look with some aspirations to the future, and I try not to let the events daunt me. Yeah, you're right about that. But as I said, on politically on a macro level, it wasn't a good year. I mean, I don't know about economically. I don't know if the stock market alone is a sign of how the economy is doing. But, I mean, how about the unemployment rate? Politically, all what happened during the election and this, like, hyper-partisanship that we saw in America, do you think it can ever be reconciled with the new president?
It's gonna take more than one presidency to bring America closer together, not even together, just closer together. This has been the most polarizing presidency that's in our lifetime, and it's not due to the president only. I mean, it's just this is the trend of politics. At different levels, right? Far as far right and far left, as far as white supremacy, as far as, the Republican Party is suffering. And when people are suffering, when a political system is suffering, extremes show up. And extremes on both ends, both the Republican and the Democratic parties are suffering, right? And the Democratic Party had a rise of the Bernie line. And the Republican Party had the rise of the Trump line. And both of them are not like 100% loyal to their parties. So, for example, I wanted Bernie to become a president. And just as a disclaimer, not due to his economical policy, but due to his political and foreign policy. And when he did it, I voted Green Party. So I'm not a Democrat. And there's people on the other end also that, you know, we were looking for other options. But anyway, I feel it's going to take a lot more than Biden to bring the country together. Although he's a good personality for uniting the country. I mean, he's, you know, a white old man. He's not like Bernie.
The oldest president ever. I mean, Joe Biden.
Centrist. He's more to the center compared to to some other candidates.
Mm-hmm. Here in Europe, with the Brexit done, the sentiment is more relaxed. Now, the biggest challenge will be containing coronavirus. And I think the next year we will have, I can see that the re-signing of the JCPOA with Iran, the nuclear deal. And I think I don't see, like, if I have to predict, like, the Lebanese psychic, I'll get to that later. I don't see, like, major war or anything like that. Do you expect something like that? Like a major war?
If a major war would have happened, it would have happened already.
All right.
It's not going to happen with this new administration. And I don't know what's going on with Netanyahu. He's been like an Arabic president lately. Why he's not going away?
I know. Or Angela Merkel. But Angela Merkel will face action in September. And in Israel, they're trying to form a government, but the parliament's blocks are not coming together. And he's been around since the 90s. Can you believe that? And he's doing well in the vaccination now. Israel now is number one in the world.
Yep.
Number one in the world in vaccinating its population. And they're going to vaccinate about 1 million within a few weeks. But the thing is, they're not vaccinating any Arabs. And human rights organizations are talking about
that. They're not vaccinating Arabs and cows.
So, yes.
Yeah. It's a racist state by definition. Yes,
exactly. But in terms of the vaccination, they're doing very well. And by the way, they bought the Pfizer 62 for one vaccine, $62.
Wow.
Where America is paying 1950, almost $20 for the vaccine, they paid 62. See, countries are vying to buy the vaccine, right? And it's like an auction. Whoever pays more gets it first.
Yeah.
And they paid 62, and they say that there is a friendship between the Pfizer CEO and Netanyahu, like personal friendship, and that could be a factor why they get the vaccine so fast.
Mm-hmm.
In Lebanon, they let everybody celebrate during the holidays. There was no constraint, and now the virus is booming. And now they're calling for a lockdown for at least 3 weeks to contain the virus, because what they did was totally, totally absurd to let everybody join the holidays. And there was no restriction whatsoever.
Yeah,
so everybody enjoyed the holidays.
There were parties as if there was no corona.
Exactly.
I saw some parties. I thought that's not possible to be in 2020. I was checking the date, and they were.
Exactly.
Yeah, and even in Dearborn, there were scenes really of absurdity in the way New Year was celebrated, and the police actually cracked down on them in a few locations. Right. Yeah.
And I was watching some of the news channel during the New Year's Eve. And what amazed me, like, I was really astonished how, like, at least four or five channels, I could count at least four or five, had psychics. I mean, psychics, or fortune tellers, or clairvoyants, whatever you want to call them. You know, from Laila Abdul Latif to Al Hayek to all of them, at least five of them, or four or five. And I know that Lebanese people would be drawn into the screen this night, watching them as if they're really telling the real future. And this is amazing how we still believe in them. And look, if they're doing palmistry, or like using a crystal ball, or reading the sand, I would say, okay, but they're not doing any of them. They're just using their own intuition to tell you what's going to happen, sometimes on a micro level, like this person, what's going to happen to him, like this president, this event, this country. And those people, I mean, you know, they are like basically con artists. That's what they are. And they say, oh, no, Laila Abdul Latif last year anticipated the outbreak of the coronavirus. She didn't say corona, she said the virus. And it happened. I mean, Bill Gates did that. Many other scientists anticipated that. It's not only her. But they said, oh, no, that's to her credit because she anticipated, she expected that and it happened. So everybody was drawn to these predictions.
I mean, it's a sign of the intellectual bankruptcy of the mass.
Exactly. And Nizar Kobani said, 30 years ago, he said, the most read books in Arabic countries are cooking and dreams interpretation. And that means we are a population who only eat and sleep.
Yeah, I mean, this is okay. We're self-criticizing. There is definitely a sahwa, an awakening today.
Yes.
And there is a phenomena of the al-mutadayat al-thaqafi, of cultural forums popping up all over the place, almost tens of them in every Lebanese city, at least one in every village. And there are a lot of new poets, and there's a lot of social media characters who are also trying to tackle different topics. Social media, that's a new phenomena. So it shows, also some positive trend. I don't want to just give the negative trend, because we always do that as Arab, to the point that we start believing we are in total darkness. There is some light.
Relatively compared to other countries.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
There are books that are printed every year in Finnish language, which only 90 million people read it, more than entire Arabic countries.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's relatively.
No, there's more Writer's Digest magazine printed in America, 40 million a day, than all the books printed in the Arab world the last 5 years. So we have certainly a long way to go. By the way, Amazon is working on in bringing the Arabic print to its printing services, and that will have a huge effect. But definitely having the psychic thing, I mean, it's almost like a religious belief. Okay, so no religion, approves of that, right? The religions in Lebanon, I don't, there's 19 religions or whatever, they don't approve of psychic reading. So it's like a new type of belief. So I don't understand how do you bring, because it's not science, so it's a type of faith. So how do you enforce or accept a type of faith just because maybe it's entertaining? But if you're entertained, I mean, I can suggest the lust ritual for the satanics that, you can put that on TV. It will be more entertaining. I mean, how can you just bring something that is completely outrageous and has no scientific basis and display it on TV? And then people, of course, they encourage that because they it has high ratings. But
do you think
people believe in them? Or is it just entertaining?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Lots of people believe in the horoscope in Lebanon, and they believe in these psychics. And these psychics make a lot of money on a personal level. See, when they come on television, they usually have their personal number on the screen. And lots of people call them, and not only the regular politics call them.
Politicians.
They call them for predictions, and not only in Lebanon, the Arab world. I know one of them, two of them, Hayek and Abdul Latif, they go around the Arab world. So yes, they have some credit. And see what they do, I think their strategy is they bombard you with many, many, many predictions, and then one of them will come true.
Yeah, and we forget about the rest.
Yeah, and hundreds, exactly. And another strategy is that they say these predictions will happen over a period of 18 months, not 1 year. So when the next year comes, and when you see them at the next year, they say, oh, no, we didn't say it will happen now. We still have 6 months.
I mean, they've been doing this for years. You can do actual statistics and studies on them. Plus, their expectations are very general. I mean, I can do 10 of them right now. There will be an explosion in Lebanon, and I see in the foresight that there's going to be a very important event in Iraq.
Exactly.
I mean, this is how their predictions is. and there is an earthquake somewhere in South America.
You know, one of them, not on the yearly forecast, usually has a program during like the year. And he, what he does, you call in and you say hello, and then he starts telling you your future mm-hmm. and telling you everything about you just by saying hello. Nothing else. Mm-hmm. Hello, can I talk to? And then he starts
talking. You must telling have a very good caller ID. There, I mean, there are psychics in America too, and people go to them, but they're not on national TV. You know, they don't make it to the mass media like Lebanon does. It's a thing in Lebanon, and it's a shame. Yes. It's a shame on Lebanese media stations, but that tells you how we have a tendency for superstition. And
and as you said, the ratings is good, so this is what matters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, without being a psychic, what's some of your expectations for 2021, Willie? General expectations.
I have to be optimistic. I have to, right? All of us have to.
Yeah.
And I think the coronavirus will be done with. I mean, that's not an expectation. Everybody, it's a scientific prediction. Like by the summer or by the spring, it'll be over. Thanks God. Now, what is here in England, at least, the perilous thing is the new variant. And this is why they're imposing the new lockdown. And the most dangerous prediction is that what if it keeps, you know, changing itself, it keeps mutating.
Say evolving.
Evolving.
Evolving. Say it.
No, I agree. I mean, viruses do evolve. Yeah, if it does evolve or mutate, whatever. And now we have two variants, one in South Africa and one originated in England. But what if we see a third one, a third variant or a fourth variant? And what if these jabs of vaccines don't work with them? Yeah, this is, I don't want to even think about that. But
yeah, I to tell you the truth, again, going back to the first subject we spoke about, is this a bad year? You know, so we talked about the stocks. We talked about the the rise of intellectuality, the chance for a lot of delayed creative tasks to be done, the rise of family time, the rise of meditation, the rise of personal fitness at home. The industry for fitness at home, the apps and personal coaches has gone up, you know, because people can't go to the gym. I feel all these are revolutionary goods. Yes, 2 million people died, people lost their jobs, people lived in poverty. But you know what? These the deaths, okay, some years will have more deaths than the others. Historically speaking, we have handled the pandemic better than any time in history handled their pandemics, where like one third of the population of Europe would be wiped up or so this is expected, you know. It's like earthquakes, it's like volcanoes. They're expected. They're not a bad year, because that's part of just having the privilege of living on Earth. During that time, so the economical shift. So this is a very important point I want to make, and it's part of my expectations. So I'm against the thinking that okay, we're just waiting for this to end to go back to status quo. That would be a huge undermining of what this year has accomplished. Mm-hmm. We should move forward. We should never think back. We should never think of going back. Whatever is missing now, we should think how we should compensate for that in the new world, post-COVID-19. Which means that, like schools should continue to be virtual and find out a way to compensate for, you know, what students miss from being in school. Okay.
Now, here in the UK, they promised to open the school. They said college and secondary school on the 18th, primary school probably before. Amidst lots of critics about that because of the prevalence of corona now in England. Yet they estimate that if kids stay at home, the balance of goods like pros and it will be against the goodwill of the kids. So do you agree with that as an indicator?
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that. If we do it, if we just switched school the way it was, as designed by the post-industrial age, to having a screen instead of a teacher, yes, definitely that's worse. But to rethink the educational model, you have the best teachers in the world now can be the teachers for all the students. You can have one math teacher for grade 3 who will create these amazing videos that will be taught to all the students in America. And that person gets paid $2 million a year, and he has a whole production crew. Let me just finish this thought. While the other teachers will be coaches for the students, and then you'll have, it's a system. So you'll have groups, you'll have pods of students who socialize together. You'll have study groups. You'll have, remember that we're talking post the pandemic where, there is no virus or we're vaccinated. So we can go out, but it doesn't mean that we have to go back, because what I know from education is that 50% of the effort in schools go on logistics. You are herding 2,000 students to eat, to drink, to go to the bathroom, to stop bullying each other, to stop touching each other. A lot of effort is just wasted in that.
Okay? But and
the reason for that is because of babysitting, because they're being babysit for their parents to go to the factory, which was the case in the 30s and 40s and 50s. It's no longer the case. Whoever can work from home should work from home. That's the decline of commercial office real estate and the rise of the home office. I mean, this is the revolution that we're having right now.
Okay. Yeah, but I'm not an educator myself, but I think, if I may say, that there should be a solution between the virtual solution and going back to the old school days. There should be something in between. Your solution is totally like the virtual one, which loses the physical interaction, the human touch. And I know that in Finland...
No, I am with a hybrid model. That's what I'm saying.
All right.
We'll study virtually, but they'll have study groups. They'll have activities, like as students already, we are already compensating by extracurricular activities. And we put kids in gymnastics and we put kids in soccer. If soccer in school was enough, why do we put them in soccer after school? Well, what? If they can do soccer longer, then we don't need the soccer in the school. And then if the soccer in the school, if the Board of Education or the Department of Education, they subsidize these clubs, then you'll have a revolution. Instead of paying for a gym teacher, if you have all these different clubs that you can join for physical activity that the government subsidizes. So I'm talking about a comprehensive model.
So you think the old school model should vanish?
Yeah, this is a good time for it. This is why I think 2020 is a great year overall. I'm being a little bit cold. I'm being a little bit British in that. But if with all due respect to the human factor, with the deaths and the pain and the suffering, we lost some loved ones too. With all that, the heavy price that we paid, and I might get the virus and die in a week, so
God forbid, truthfully.
I understand the risks, but because of my, I think that I wouldn't survive because of my overweight.
Oh, no, you're not overweight. I was going to say that in Finland, which had, they say it had the best educational system in the world. The achievement of the students, like in math and science, is the highest in the world. Yet, they go to school only a few hours a day, and not early in the morning. They'll probably go like 10 or 11, and they come back home at 1 o'clock, yeah. And they have the best educational system. So yes, I agree with you that should be like some sort of a hybrid educational
right.
system.
Right, and Finland has a very, very flexible school day. They have a lot of outdoor activities, a lot of outdoor activities. They also have some sort of support at home for the students.
Right. Tell me, Wesley, about your...
Abbas Al-Hajj Ahmed says, great discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Abbas. We miss you, Abbas. Tell me something, Wesley, about your expertise.
Do you know Abbas?
I know him through Facebook.
Oh, okay. Because I miss him. But I wonder why you got jealous for a second.
Because maybe because he used to like a post or comment on a post. And then he stopped doing that.
Oh, okay.
I miss him virtually. Yeah. But I know, like, by other, my friends are his friends, so I know he's a good guy.
Yeah.
Good man. Yeah. So what are your expectations? Do you expect a good year ahead?
Although I feel that if we continue with a hybrid trend, like having some of the concerns and precautions that were created by 2020. At the same time, there are vaccinations and we can see each other more comfortably. I think it's a beautiful design. I feel that if people do not go back to their previous habits, if people who have been doing workouts at home continue and don't go to the gym, and people who have been cooking more at home will continue to cook at home and not go to the restaurants. And, you know, if we continue with the good habits that we developed and more family time, etc., and just add to it that we can have a little bit more gatherings and then we can go to a coffee shop every once in a while, you know, I feel this pandemic has adjusted our humanity to the better. The problem is that we are the biggest enemy of ourselves. So we will destroy what this year has offered, and we will go back to having 100,000 people gather in a stadium to watch people running after a ball, you know, like the Colosseums of Romans, the gladiators. You know, wasting all this effort, all this time, all this burning of hours, while it can be put like it did this year in gardening and planting and fixing houses, making houses more beautiful, spending time with family and innovating. The Oculus, the virtual reality headset that was bought by Facebook, was sold out this year.
Mm.
PlayStation 5, which has more computing power, if you put a number of sets of PS5s together, you can create a supercomputer, huge computing power. They were sold out this year. If we can have this revolution, and I visited the one of the historical sites. I visited them virtually using the Oculus. I feel that when there are more demand, there will be more applications such as that, where I can, because when I went to Amsterdam, I couldn't visit it because there was a huge line. So I visited it and I had a great experience because you can, you know, click on things and you can, and it's 3D. It's a virtual reality.
You know, you are one of the few people on Earth, I think, who can see during this pandemic that there is more pros than cons. So I like your optimistic approach to it. And I think while having this optimistic approach, this is how you will have plenty of opportunities, knock at your doors, and inshallah, and you will have a rewarding year for you and for everybody. And having this feeling, I like this these vibes that you're giving me. I like that, and I think I need them.
Yeah, I mean, you're in a harder situation, Willie, so I understand, you know. Yeah. There's less family and friends around you. So, you know, if it wasn't for the family and friends that we see, it would have been, you know, unbearable. And I understand totally your position. And I was planning to come to you, you know, in April last year. And hopefully next April, I'll try to make it.
God willing.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, definitely, it's. I hope it's a better year for everyone.
Yeah,
and I hope that this music will make its way, that you're creating will make its way out somehow.
Yeah,
also your book of poetry that you finalized this book this year.
Yes, definitely. It's almost done. Just needs publishing, probably in a couple of weeks. I'm revising every single poem over 10 times. You know, when it comes to poetry, I'm a perfectionist.
Yes.
In everything else, I'm not.
Just produce it, Willie. Make edition one and then, you know, work on edition two. But get it out there because it's most needed right now. Poets that are a lot less than you, they are making it to contests and conferences. And it's not about that. It's just about you having this poetry available for people.
Yeah, I see, Ali, lots of skillful poets in the Arab world. I go to some sites and I see many, many, many of them. So it is promising.
I memorize some of your poems, and when I read them, people ask, who's this for? You know, like such right. a poetry, and we don't know the poet. Who is it for? So... all the best to you, 2021, and hopefully we'll meet soon again. But I mean, anyway,
inshallah. I wish you a happy and rewarding new year. Thank you very much.
Thank you for our listeners, and please follow us on wusleyandwilly.com. You can watch the episodes there or on Spotify and iTunes, etc. Podcasts. You can listen to them in your radio. Digital radio. And see you next weekend.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.